From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in. And joining us for the second part of the show is Kim Hersey. She is the non-game mammal conservation coordinator with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. And she's here to talk about river otters, which, again, you hear from me all the time, the coolest animal on the planet. Just otters in general.
Just objectively.
Don't want to forget our marine otter friends. But we're here to talk about river otters and specifically the fact that, hey, they are in Utah and we are trying to find them, right? We're trying to take a survey of river otters, the state is, and Kim's here to tell us all about what that project is and how we can participate in it. Thanks for joining us this morning on This Green Earth, Kim.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, let's start with some background. Let's start with some little background on river otters, the history or so of river otter populations in the state. Where are they? What happened to their populations? Are they coming back?
Okay. River otters, you know, we don't have all that much water in the state, so they were never a really abundant animal, but they were in most drainages when the pioneers arrived. And, you know, followed by a period of over-trapping and heavy pollution of our rivers, the otters pretty much disappeared. There might have been a couple hanging on in the state, but they were essentially gone. So starting, you know, in the 1980s, we decided to do some reintroduction efforts. And the biggest one was on the Green River below Flaming Gorge Dam. And over a period of 3 to 4 years, I think about 70 otters were put in the Green River there. Colorado did some introductions just over the border. And about 10 years ago, we did another reintroduction effort on the Provo River. So at this point, we know river otters are hanging on and they're, you know, through most of the Colorado system, hanging on in the Provo system. And we're trying to see where they've dispersed out from there. So we're asking people to report sightings to help us out with that.
And part of the reason for that is just this is a species that's really difficult to monitor and study, right?
Correct. You know, they have large home ranges. They live in low densities. So it's really hard to get a count to, you know, even have a number to give you. But we can look for their sign and remote camera pictures, other things like that, to help us get a better idea of distribution and, you know, gather more information from there.
You mentioned the Provo. Where on the Provo were they reintroduced or where might we see them?
All of the reintroduction efforts on the Provo River were in the middle Provo between Jordanelle and Deer Creek. And I think about 20 animals were put there. But we do know that they spread from there. We've got good videos and pictures from down along Utah Lake. Lots of sightings along the lower Provo between Deer Creek and the lake. And we assume that they've probably gone a little bit higher up into the system as well. So if you're out there fishing in an early morning, there's a chance you'll see one.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. Of course, I was about to ask, you know, what do you think about their presence, either what's known about it or what potential is there for their presence in Summit and Wasatch counties? And one piece of information I'll add to that is that my real job, right, is at the Swanner Preserve and Eco Center. And just yesterday, we got a report that a river otter had been seen fishing and grabbing brown trout out of the creek just this past week. And so I'm curious to hear about, you know, your thoughts on habitat in Summit and Wasatch counties and what you know about them up here.
Okay. You know, certainly they're in the Provo drainage and it's not too far of a dispersal distance to get into some of these smaller creeks and areas. We're trying to figure out especially whether they're in the Weber-Ogden drainage as well. We've gotten a lot of reports but haven't gotten that definitive evidence yet. So a lot of sightings that we want to follow up on.
Yeah.
As far as being on
Oh, go ahead.
As far as being on Swanner, you know, it's certainly possible. I will say that a lot of people get otters confused with other animals as well. So I'd like to go back in with a remote camera and see what you might have there.
Yeah, you know, that was actually the question I was just going to ask. Talk us through, like, some of these other species, you know, these aquatic mammals like our the beaver and the muskrat and even the mink that we see in our waterways here. How do you guide people through that identification?
Yeah, everybody thinks that they can tell the critters apart, and it's really easy when they're lined up next to each other on land. You've got all those features. it's like, I can't confuse an otter with a beaver, but it's really easy when you're just especially seeing that brown nose above the water. So the first thing you're really looking for is that long, elongated body shape of an otter. And when you're comparing against the muskrat and beaver, obviously be looking for the tail shape. It's a dead giveaway with a big flat beaver paddle or a skinny muskrat tail versus, you know, the long sort of swoopy tail of an otter. And when they're swimming, you know, otter will just sort of have its nose above the water, fast swimming, a little bit more athletic versus a beaver and muskrat. You'll almost see their whole back above the water and more generally be moving slowly through there. You know, if you had something eating fish, that's probably putting it in the mink or otter category there. And minks overall are just much smaller than otters, although it's hard to tell when you don't have them next to each other. And they have a lot pointier nose and a skinny tail that will, you know, can stick sort of straight out from the animal versus that more swoopy shape.
And how about group-related activity, groupings of them? Is that something unique to the otter family, or might you see groups of beavers or mink?
This time of year, especially when you've got young around, you can see family groups of any of them. But otters are a little bit more social through the year, so if you're seeing a group in winter, that could be a sign as well.
So you kind of recently released, a press release saying, hey, you know, if people have information about river otters, if you have a sighting or a suspected sighting, report it. Have you gotten any interesting reports so far?
Yes, we've gotten over 80 emails sent to us with, everything from I saw one and here's a video and we look at it and it's definite, to a lot of sightings of just people reporting where they've seen them. And all of those are really useful to us. Ideally, if you can provide a picture or a video, that helps us out with a definitive ID. But, you know, if you just saw one, you can shoot us an email. And, you know, we look for those clusters and groupings of areas like, mentioned the Weber and the Ogden. Like, these are areas that we need to go into and explore a little bit more.
All right. And where do people send the email to?
We set up an email for it. It is utahotters@gmail.com.
UtahOtters@gmail.com. Okay. And so people can, like you say, they can send in photos, they can send in videos, and you're just kind of collecting this information, and then what are you going to be doing with it?
Yeah, we're collecting the information, and, you know, once the sightings start trickling off, we're going to create a map and sit down with our regional biologists. We've got 5 different regions across the state and see, okay, where do we have enough information to say, you know, there's definitely otters here, like Lake Powell, we're getting lots of great reports. And other areas that we need to go into and investigate a bit more. And we have some funding to hire some technicians who will be doing that work through the fall and winter to get us a bit more information on the distribution and sort of a metric of abundance for otters.
That Lake Powell, that's interesting. Did you expect to see otters that far south?
We certainly have had reports in the past, so we're pretty sure they were through there. We, you know, get reports around Moab as well. But, you know, I've been a bit surprised by just the sheer number of sightings, and I haven't mapped them all out yet, but on lots of different coves and bays and areas where people are sharing pictures of not just individuals but family groups. So definitely, wow. You know, a lot of reproduction going on down there.
Wow. So what was the motivation for this project at this point? Did you kind of suspect that we are seeing a little bit of a recovery with these species, or is this part of a larger initiative?
That's part of a larger initiative. For a lot of our species, we have management plans, and they're written for a 10-year period oftentimes. So the river otter management plan needs to be updated, and we just need some more information to inform those efforts. So that's really why the push behind it there. Also, it being about the 10-year anniversary of the Provo River work, really just wanted to see where otters may have dispersed from there already.
I'm curious what tools you and your team at the division use to monitor these. You've mentioned camera traps. Are there any other techniques you use?
Yeah, camera traps are a big one. We'll put out a stinky otter lure designed to bring them in, and that will help out. Okay. You can also, we're able to just go along and walk the banks. Otters will use scent post where they'll come up on land, deposit scat, roll around a little bit. So if you walk slowly along the riverbanks, you can find those areas as well. Where you're able to get access. And other states where they've got lots of bridges crossing their streams and, just more access to waterways, they'll do bridge surveys where come up to a bridge and walk a few hundred meters in either direction from the bridges looking for, you know, tracks and scats, and that's how they monitor them. But when you have these, you know, big remote systems like the Colorado, that becomes a lot more difficult.
And what about their nesting habits? What does that look like?
They'll den up in riverbanks. They'll often use abandoned beaver lodges and den up in there. So that's a common one. Anywhere where they can have a little bit of area and up under riverbanks as well.
Oh, interesting. Opportunist in that way.
Yep.
So why are otters important? Why do we need this information? What do they tell us about a river's ecology, health or otherwise?
You know, river otters are the top predator in the river system. They're eating fish and crayfish, some birds and small mammals. So when you've got otters there, it's telling you about the river system. It's telling you that it's supporting a healthy fish population. It's telling you that it's got those dens and meanders that it needs. So they're really an indicator of healthy waterways. And, you know, if you're able to see one, they're like you said, they're just adorable, amazing critters to watch.
When I think of river otters, I think of huge waterways. I think of, like, you know, huge rivers. Do you also find them in smaller streams and creeks?
They can use smaller streams and creeks. You know, they're mostly constrained by the amount of fish that are there. So, you know, that's one. Those can be some spots, too, where they'll go up a creek for a short period of time, get the fish that they can, and move on out. And we can have nuisance issues with otters as well when they get into private ponds that have been stocked for trout or other things like that. So, so we haven't had too many issues there, too, but, you know, that's part of managing them as well as taking care of when you do get into problems.
And while we're on that, I'm assuming that it's completely illegal to quote unquote, harvest, otherwise trap or kill a river otter?
We do not have an open season for river otters, no. So they are fully protected.
Okay. So
we have had instances, though, where they're getting into fish hatcheries, and we've trapped and relocated those animals.
Seems down, problematic.
Down the lake, pal, probably. Okay. And I assume then they're also, you say they're indicator species, but they're also probably sensitive to not only the volumes of water, they need certain volumes of water, and maybe even water temperatures, too. They're very, like lots of species, they're very finicky about water quality.
Definitely the pollution levels of the water, it can impact otters' ability to stay there, and especially, you know, the prey items, having the fish available. Otters are found across really a wide range of habitats. They're found down in Louisiana and Florida marshes, all the way up into, you know, the bays and rivers of Alaska. So they can tolerate a wide variety of temperatures and aquatic habitats, just as long as, they have the clean water and fish available.
Well, I will also share that, and this is several years ago now, that while fishing on the Provo right below the Jordanelle, I'm fairly certain I saw something that was closer to an otter than, say, closer to a beaver. The river was moving too fast, I think, for maybe a beaver. So, and of course, I have otter bias. So I'm going
you just
to
really I'm are just hoping. Right to,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was like you say, Kim, it was, I saw it from maybe 5 or 6 seconds and then boom, gone. Right. But, but it is interesting to know that you could, I mean, they were placed there, or there was a population of otters placed in the middle of Provo below the Jordanelle. So it's quite possible that you may be seeing them there. Okay.
That would be a very likely spot. And we know that they're using the reservoirs as well. Especially during the time period I'm forgetting my exact research now, but they were going into Deer Creek and eating quite a few crayfish out of it, actually. So you might spot them in the reservoirs as well.
Okay. All right. Well, we have to wrap up again for those who now are out and about and think they see an otter. They can email that information, I guess a description of the location, like you say, a photo of the location, maybe even a video of the actual event of sorts, to utahotters@gmail.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what about a general website that people can go to learn more about otters, river otters?
We could always look at the Division of Wildlife's website at wildlife.utah.gov. I can't recall how much otter-specific information we have there, but, It gives us information on wildlife across the state.
Okay. Kim Hersey, she is the Non-Game Mammal Conservation Coordinator with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Thanks again for joining us this morning and talking about river otters.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.